Gwen and I worked together on this last week, and she has, actually, I should let her report first. How many you've done and what our status is with that.
The surveys have all gone out to the list that I got from Barbara that you drew up, Jeff.
Right.
And I sent to the task force a message asking people whether they had other addresses. I got a few back that were mailman addresses. And I suggested that Barbara ask the staff in the ICANN office to send out surveys to them.
Right, so we have some that are going to, that we can send through snail mail if we want to.
But for the rest, the others have all gone out, and I suppose each one of you also received certain, certain ones to distribute.
The feedback that I got from someone whom I had recommended was that this seemed a very short time to respond to a very long survey.
Yeah, I think we're going to get that a lot. So, you know, it's better to have the deadline and then to extend it if we have to, I think, because, you know, it'll get people hopefully thinking about it a little bit sooner, hopefully. So I'm sorry, Glenn, so which ones, can you send out a list then of which ones you still need some sort of address for? I saw the list you had sent out, when was that? That was on Thursday?
Thursday, that's right, yes. And so, that's the list.
Oh, that's still the list?
Yes.
Okay, that you need people for?
If you've got any addresses on that, just let me know and I'll get them out to those people.
Yeah, I might have the one for Cyvalence.
Okay.
And then Aldermanes is a registrar, so we should be able to get ICANN to give us a name for that.
I can send up
for the registrar.
Aldermanes is one.
Yes, I understand.
We should probably be able to get I can reach out to someone at the TSP. Let me raise another issue that I was speaking about this whole process with Kurt Pritz the other day, and his opinion as somebody who comes from the business side as opposed to the more tech side of our industry is that this kind of a survey arriving without the context of why we're doing it, I mean like a much broader context of why we're doing it and who this is coming from, that if he, as a manager, were to receive this, he probably wouldn't respond to it. And his suggestion was that if there's any opportunity that we have to call these people and speak with them personally, to let them know why we've, you know, that we've asked them to do this as part of a overall thing that, you know, we're working on who is and that this, you know, if they use who is, this is likely to have an impact on their work in the future and like that, and just sort of set the scene, if you will, for them, that then when they have the survey, they're more likely to take the time to fill it out. I know that we've reached out to groups that we don't have personal contacts with, and that's, you know, sort of been the struggle all along. It's the struggle with the addresses and it's the struggle with identifying these people in the first place. But I think if we don't get a significant reply from people, if we don't get a significant response from the surveys that we have been able to send out, that we really need to look at ways of improving the return, you know, response, and one of those ways might be for people to actually, you know, get on the phone and call these people.
Yeah, perhaps what we can do is we can send around the full list again, and then people can volunteer for, you know, ones that they know to take them on and then we could divide the rest up to just try to make some cold calls either through their website number to see if we're lucky to get someone. So why don't we do that? Why don't we'll resend the list around, And then if people could respond on the email, say, look, you know, I know these people, or I know someone there, I'll call them to follow up, and then we'll divide the rest up. I had a question also for Barbara and for Glenn. Is this the type of survey that we want to post up on the website and just invite groups and just make people generally aware that it's out there? Groups that we haven't thought of?
Sure. I mean, I think that would be a really... I think we were at one point talking about putting up all of the surveys for... Well, I guess that was a different task force. Putting up all of the surveys for the public to use if they so chose, you know, or to reach members of groups that hadn't seen it through some other means.
Right. I mean, I think that's a really good idea. I mean, that'll help us. It'll give us some place to point people if we're just talking to people, or, you know, especially if there was an ICANN announcement on their website, because a lot of people have their blogs hooked up to that, so they find out when the ICANN site is updated.
So, Glenn, maybe what we can do is post the task force questionnaires on the GNSO website and put an announcement on the ICANN website that they are available for viewing and use. How would that, does that...
Fine, Barbara, they are up on the GNSO website.
As separate documents or
yes.
As part of the...
No,
oh.
They're up as separate documents.
Okay.
And the GNSO website, I've divided the three task forces so that you've got Task Force 1 and you can see what's been going on, Task Force 2, Task Force 3.
Okay, great.
I'll just have Karen.
So I think if we ask the ICANN website to put up a notice saying that the questionnaires are there and whoever would like to ask them can.
Yeah.
Great. And then each of the constituencies, please, well, actually, our Barbara, the next item is actually, are we going to do a separate constituency asking for this survey, or with a constituency statement, or what was the decision on that? Because we wanted to send a formal note to the constituencies.
Right. I don't remember actually what we decided on that.
Wasn't that to get constituency statements?
Yeah, I don't think it was directly with the...
It was not with directly concerned with the survey.
Right. Well, I think, well, okay, then let's separate the two. I think with the survey, I think each of us should go back to our constituencies, send them the survey, and then also advise them, look, if you know anybody else, please, you know, pass this out as far and as wide as you can. We want to get a good sampling of responses back. So that's an action item for all of us. And then the next thing is the constituency statement, which... You know, at the council meeting, we were, you know, it was decided that we were supposed to get send out a constituency statement request, but then people have been going back and forth that they don't want to do a policy statement before they see the result.
Right.
And I don't think that's ever.
I can tell you that the Task Force 2 is looking at revising their timeline again to. Accounts for the fact that they have so much data analysis still to do, not even counting the survey stuff.
Right.
They have other things that they have to go through. And so they have not put out a call for statements yet either, constituency statements.
Here I am.
And
that must be Milton.
It's sad to announce myself.
Only Milton would just assume that everyone knows who he is.
Well, when there's only when you're down to seven members of the conference call, and one of them is 15 minutes late, just let me know. Have you stopped studying the collected works of Marilyn Cade and decided to do something, or should I get off the call?
Oh, please.
Wow, that was, is that being recorded?
Yes,
that is being recorded.
And I don't think Milton
mind. Remixing.
All right, well, Milton, glad you could join us. We just gave you a bunch of action items.
I thought you might have done that. I had to defend myself and get on here.
Okay, actually, just to summarize where we are, we talked about this. The survey went out to as many people that we had addresses for on that non-marketing contact list. We're going to recirculate it, hopefully get some more addresses. We're asking each of the constituencies to send around the surveys to their members so that if they know of anybody else that can answer these questions. We also talked about the timeline may be too short, but I think, you know, obviously we have deadlines that were set for us, and if we need to extend them, we'll see what we can do later on to do that. And we are now talking about constituency statements and timelines and kind of some confusion that has arisen because there are some people that feel that it's hard to come out with a constituency policy statement without actually seeing some of the data first, which I think obviously makes a little bit of sense. So Barbara was talking about that, about some of the other task forces revising their timelines.
Right, they haven't actually revised them yet. They've just said that they're going to.
Okay.
Sorry, Jeff, talking about timelines, may I remind you that the extended timelines have to be approved at the next council meeting.
Right, and we have, I'm looking at my calendar, and I have a meeting with Bruce and the other task force chairs, I think, at some point.
Yeah, we haven't actually scheduled that yet, I don't think.
No, I guess we haven't. But we probably should. I guess that's where I'll bring it up. I'll probably send Bruce a note earlier.
It would be nice, though, if before that meeting we have a sense of what people on the task force think is appropriate for when to ask and or when to start analyzing constituency statements. And then you have to ask for them preferably about a month before that because it takes about that amount of time for some of the constituencies to get their statement through their process. I'm just saying that if Jordan, if we go into our meeting like last time with a sense of what we want to have out of it but not specific dates and then come back and the task force says no, those dates won't work. Yeah. So I'd like to just make this a one round if we can. It's sort of a two round discussion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So you're talking about calling off the February 16th date?
No, we're talking about calling off the March 12th date for constituency statements, which is sort of what we had tentatively identified as a time to receive constituency statements, which was after the Rome meeting, so that they would have had a chance to consider the interim report. And what people are saying now that I'm hearing from other task forces, and because the questionnaires got out in a more delayed than we anticipated, that that people don't feel that there's going to still be enough time to review new information in the process of writing the constituency statements. Is that a fair summary? So I think we're looking at moving that date and then establishing a date for the call for constituency statements so that we're sending out the call among the three task forces at the same time.
And just to get back to February 16th, is still the date due for the surveys to come back. Hopefully, obviously, that may need to be extended, but that's the goal.
You'll excuse me if I've become a little confused about, from a constituency standpoint, it's very hard to distinguish between the three task forces. But Task Force 2 still has a February 16th deadline for some comments, right?
For the questionnaire that they sent out,
right,
which was not the constituency statement.
Okay, and this task force does not have a February 16th statement required?
Not a statement, but again, the same thing, the survey results.
It did not send out its survey specifically to the constituencies, but one of the things that we discussed earlier in the call is we are, in fact, going to ask all the members to take the survey back to their constituencies and distribute it and ask people to do it. If it's too repetitive from the other task force, then focus on the questions that aren't repetitive, you know. I think that's the logic I would ask you to use. I don't think it is actually completely repetitive of the other task forces, and so I think there's some there's not a significant amount of overlap.
Okay. So you with us, Milton?
Yeah, we had, in fact, noticed that there was some overlap. Barbara's right, that's not complete overlap. And we were thinking of consolidating responses to all three task forces. But probably that won't happen now if you're thinking of moving this March 12th.
Well, yeah, the March 12th thing I think we are thinking of moving. Because we would have to send out the call now for constituency statements to give the constituencies sufficient time to do their work. And
right.
I think that with all the other things that we're asking them to do right now, it would just be, as you say, confusing and probably counterproductive to getting replies to the survey.
Okay. Two other things on the survey. As far as that email address that they send it to,
yes.
We resolved, is that going to just be sent to all of us, or?
No, we haven't resolved that. You guys have to have some discussion about that.
Okay.
Or more discussion.
All right, so we'll talk about that. And then the second thing is, I noticed there's last sentence, Glenn, if there's a way we can revise, there's a typo. I think the word hour is in there twice.
In the survey?
Yeah, in the survey. In the last sentence, I think the word our, O-U-R, is in there twice.
I get it. Have you looked at that?
Yeah, that's okay. It happens. We wrote it. Okay, so then about the email address. So right now, Glenn, it gets sent to that email address, and does it go to anyone?
I have asked Kent to give me the link to the archives.
Okay.
And I have not got a reply back from him, so I was hoping to get one yesterday, but when I've got that link, I can give it to you privately, but it won't be a published link. At least it won't go on the mailing list.
Okay, when you say private, you can give it to the task force members so that we can all
do
it?
If you want it that way, yes. I don't know what you think, Barbara.
That would be one way to do it. Another way would be to. I mean, there's a couple of different ways. It just depends on if you guys want this to be public or shared within the task force, or if you want, for instance, Glenn and I to read everything and just provide some, concatenated response summary, or not a summary because we would include the actual responses, but some worked over version. If we do the public list, it hides people's emails and all that, so it's not like we're exposing people directly to who precisely sent the letter, but. On the other hand, we've asked people some very, particular concerns about their business and how they use certain things, and I'm not sure that it's, that we want to just put that out without obscuring their identities as much as possible.
Okay, so how do people feel about that? Milton? Wendy?
Feel about the results of the survey?
Well, how do you? I mean, I'm not sure.
What did the cover letter indicate about how confidentially or non-confidentially the results would be treated, if anything?
It doesn't say anything. I don't think.
So then we're really asking ourselves, how confidentially should we treat it?
Right.
In. Well, this is like the Who Is Data problem, isn't it?
it's a little different in the sense that, if you post their replies, their email is obscured regardless. So that part isn't, it's not as if we're putting, as I say, it's not as if we're putting them out there for identification
right.
in that way. On the other hand,
although for most of these responses, I would imagine will include their name in the response and
somewhere
the type of brain and Google can find their email address.
Right, and the truth is that that we have asked them to provide details of how they
right.
use this in their business, and to some that might be a very proprietary bit of knowledge. If they're willing to share it with us, that'd be great. And I would hate to, you know, to make it harder for them to share it with us. On the other hand, you know, we try to work in as open a way as possible. And Task Force 2 put in their survey that they were going to post the replies. And so I think people, to you know, who are sending replies to that, but their questions are much more generic than ours in terms of how people use the data. And so I think that, you know, that needs to be taken into consideration, particularly since most of our surveys are going out to people who are not routinely involved with ICANN and so may not have as strong a sense of how public most of the proceedings are.
But, again, the point of information is the survey is already out there, right?
Correct. And it does not say anything about how the information will be displayed.
I think the assumption, they would probably assume that it would be, I'm assuming they would assume it would be public.
See, and I think as a non-ICANN person, they would assume that it would go to the task force participants and no further.
In the letter, didn't we say it was going to be confidential? This is David.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, so.
I inserted that into the letter so because I thought it would be important to encourage people to respond. I'm pretty certain it says that...
Yeah, it says, here it is. I'm sorry, it's in the first paragraph. Your submissions will not be shared beyond
okay.
the members of this task force.
Good. Thanks.
So that answers that question.
Okay, so, but as far as the members of the task force, it would probably be easiest if we could just give everyone links to where they are.
That's usually the easiest.
Yeah.
And then it'll help us, too, because then at some point we'll divide up the surveys to fill in these charts.
Yeah.
Okay. Hearing general agreement or silence, which in the ICANN world is agreement. Okay, so moving on. Any other questions about the survey? We'll wait to see the results, but I think the important agenda item now is to talk about the needs and justifications chart, because ultimately I believe we're going to take the information we get and plug them into the chart as best we can. So that being said, we got an email from the scribe of the sub-task force. That would be Wendy, that you guys had met. And had divided up the work so that you could create a chart. And so the way I see it here from that email is that Jeremy was assigned to review a few things, David was assigned, and Wendy. Where are you guys in the process of doing that? How's it coming?
This is David. I have to brag that I have completed my assignment. I sent it to Glenn and to Wendy. Is there someone else I should send it to?
Did you want to send it to the list, or?
It's the partial. I think it's better to put the whole list together. I put the whole thing together before sending it.
And have you guys decided on a standard format or anything like that?
Well, I just went ahead and made up a format and sent it in. I think it's going to be all that complex.
We have a special super proprietary format wrapped in layers of XML.
freak out all of this.
I'm thinking of, like, the column names and things. You know, more simple than the XML scheme. But if you want, Dave, if you want to send it to me, if everyone wants to send it to me and I can put it together.
Fine. Okay.
I can when I get everybody. So, David, Wendy.
Okay.
But, David, did you want to go over the types of columns that you have and just the types of information you found, what you're not finding, what you're having trouble finding, anything like that?
Well, yeah, the it's really just data, one column data needed and the other uses, or I guess it was vice versa. It was first uses of data, then data needed. Several presentations I looked at were really very strong statements about privacy and did not go into any detail at all. So it's not really possible, I think, to have a list just of data. You have to have some explanation, in some textual explanation under the in the columns.
Well, is there? Do we want to? From the information that you're reviewing, David, is this something that we want to follow up with them on? Maybe sending them the surveys as well.
I suppose it wouldn't hurt. On the other hand, I think the statements that were made were pretty clear. Why don't you take a look at what I send you, and then...
The other question is whether we want to add another column to this chart with concerns about data collection, since many of the presentations were people who had more privacy concerns about the collection of data than needs for the data themselves.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, when you say concerns about... I mean, that's more for another task force, I think.
Okay, it's also struck me in reviewing some of these presentations that many of the people presenting weren't talking about data needs or justifications, but were talking about here's why we don't want that data out there.
Right.
Exactly.
I think that's good. Well, I mean, it's good information for the people in, I forgot which task force deals with that. Is that Task Force 2? And it's fine to have on the chart. You know, really didn't go into needs or justifications.
I was just been trying to sort of visualize the end game of this task force, and in the process of doing that, I've had a hard time figuring out what the point of this latest exercise in collecting these needs and justifications from those presentations was. It seems to me we have two interests at stake in this particular task force. One of us is the people who use various forms of data collection mechanisms, especially Port 43, and the other are the registries and registrars or the service providers who find their WHOIS capabilities abused by these practices or think that they're abused. So if at anybody we should be, and now we sent out a survey to ask the people who are using the data how they use it, and we've asked them for their needs and justifications, although I guess we did leave the word justification in there. So I'm not sure what we're doing with this survey of presentations made 6 months ago. And if we should be reviewing anything at this time, I would think we would be wanting to collect additional data about the registrars and registries' load, you know, in terms of what this means to them. Is this a big problem? That's the only gap in the data that I can think of that we have once we get the survey results.
Right, I think that's important as well. Let's put that about the registries and registrars. Let's save that for after this. But I think we do need to talk about that. I'm just writing that note to myself here. What our role is, according to the terms of reference, and I'm going to go back to it now. Basically, is we have two different roles, and the second one is the one that you had mentioned about well, it's sort of related to that as far as what measures there are to restrict port 43 access or to help curb the abuses. So I think that the second part is related. The first part is that they want us to do, and again, I'm sorry, I'm scrolling, trying to find it right now. It says that our first task is to collect the stated needs and the justification for those needs from non-marketing users of contact information. This could be extracted from the Montreal workshop and also the genus of constituencies, and should also include accessibility requirements. So that's milestone number one. And then we have review general approaches, the second part that you're talking about.
That says this could include that, right? It doesn't
right,
say
right.
It must.
So, right, and that's exactly right. But until someone actually goes through and sees what data is there, we can't really decide whether we're going to include that in the final report or not, right?
Well, I was in Montreal. I could have told you sort of what was there. but yeah, I think the survey is pretty much doing the same thing in a much more structured and as these things go, fairly objective way.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I completely agree. But to the extent that we have data out there that we can use, we might as well draw on that as well.
So the
goal of this exercise was to, number one, was to see if there's anything good that we can use for our report later on, as far as have any of these groups said what needs and justifications for those needs are out there. And two is also it's a good format to help us when we get the survey results to organize those results when they come in. So it's really got two purposes the way I see it. So to the extent that any of the material from the Montreal only talks about privacy or only talks about how data shouldn't be out there, then that's fine. Then our chart should just say, well, they didn't really say what needs or justifications they have for the data. And I'm sure, I'm hoping, and Barbara maybe, because she's a liaison to the other task forces as well, I'm assuming that those are materials that Task Force 2, I guess, is looking at as well?
I'm sorry, which materials? I was off.
The Who Is workshop materials.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Right.
Everybody's reviewing the materials from Montreal
Right, so that's important, Wendy and Milton. That's important, but I think that's for the other task force. Our goal is to present to the council what the needs and justifications are for different types of access, whether it's web-based or port 43, and to see if there's ways out there to restrict the access. And then the other task force, too, is there to say, well, these are the privacy concerns and these are the other concerns out there, and then the council's there and the constituencies are there to opine on this as to what the balance should be.
I'm sorry, but that's
okay,
not
so
quite correct.
Okay, so we're describing a little piece of the elephant.
Yeah, Jeff, you're not quite correct, because the Task Force 2 is not talking specifically about privacy per se. It's talking about what data elements should be included or excluded, which may have a privacy consideration. Similarly, this task force is concerned about whether we should restrict port 43 access, and so I think it is significant to have some kind of catalog of concerns as to why we should restrict. Otherwise, if we're just cataloging needs and justifications, how do we ever decide to restrict it?
Are we meant to provide recommendations about restrictions, or are we just meant to identify the types of access restrictions that could possibly exist?
We're a policy-making task force. I mean, ultimately, the council makes a decision, but we're designed to recommend a policy, as I understand it.
I thought we had a limited mandate.
Yeah, here's what the tasks and the milestones, I'll read them again. Collect the stated needs and justification for those needs from non-marketing users of contact information. And then it says this could be, this is parenthetical, this could be extracted from Montreal workshop and constituencies. And should also include accessibility requirements. Number two is to review general approaches to prevent automated electronic data mining and ensure that the requirements for access are met, including accessibility requirements for those that may be, for example, visually impaired. And we haven't really gone into that milestone yet. And then three is to determine whether any changes are required in the contracts to allow the approaches to be used above. For example, the contracts require the use of Port 43 protocol, and this may not support approaches to prevent data mining, and that's the third milestone.
So if I understand it correctly, this is David, 2 is a factual review, and then 3 is, do we need to revise the contract so that all of the things that we identify in 2 can be implemented?
But I don't hear any place for us to make the policy judgment whether any of those should be implemented.
Exactly. That was my point.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's a good question, and I'm gonna raise that to Bruce. And Glenn, if you could also take note of that.
Fine.
So that I can raise that with Bruce, because I think that is a very It's left completely ambiguous. Obviously, you know, you collection of facts is important, but if you just take facts and get constituency statements regarding those facts, it's not going to really provide much guidance to the council. So, and Milton, I hear your point, and I think that's in Wendy. So, to the extent you guys could include some of that in your chart as a third column, you know, we might as well be over inclusive in our chart. And if it turns out in the end that we don't need the data, you know, then we'll not use the data. But at least for now, until we get this cleared up, I think, David, as you were talking about, maybe you should have a third column that talks about, especially if it's not necessarily about, well, and you, I want to hear your thoughts on this, but maybe not necessarily about why we don't need any WHOIS information to be made available or, you know, that it restricts privacy, but certainly those people that talk about port 43 access being restricted or that it should only be web-based, or there's law enforcement out there that says that they need bulk access, things like that, we should certainly take notice of.
Our group didn't address any of those issues.
They didn't address those?
No.
Okay. Maybe not in yours, but I'm sure in some of the others, maybe some of Wendy's or Jeremy or John's. But I think Milton, I think you're right. I think we should at least have that, and Wendy, I think we should have that third call. And David, just put not applicable, I guess, if they didn't. Anyways.
Okay. Well, I just sent it to you. You can take a look.
Okay.
As I say, I think we need all 4 reports and put them together somehow to really get a good idea of how best to present it.
I think that's right. So, okay, so David sent his to me. Wendy, how are you coming with yours?
I'm getting there.
I know, you know, we all have day jobs, right? okay, do you have, like, any expected date or...?
Midweek.
Midweek? Okay, so maybe by Thursday?
Sure.
Good, okay, and then Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm gunning for the same, hopefully Thursday.
Good, okay, and then John's not on the call, but Glenn... Can we send out I'll send out a reminder to was John on the call with you all?
No, he got nominated to take up the slack, but I've had a quick call. I talked to him last week, and so he's aware of what he needs to do.
Okay, good. I'll send him a note and just say, you know, the others are going to have it in by Thursday. Does that sound reasonable?
That's Thursday tomorrow, at 12.
Yes.
Okay.
And then my goal then would be to take that and then circulate a combined list by Friday or early in the weekend.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anything else on the justification chart? What we'll do on Tuesday then, next Tuesday, is review that chart, make sure we've captured the elements, also follow up on the progress with the survey results. So the action items just to review are, I'm sorry, we do have one more subject. So let's go on to that. Milton brought up an excellent point about the, we need to send out something to the registries and registrars about, the load of port 43 access, maybe also find out about bulk access, whether they're offering it or not, and find out what mechanisms they've put in place to restrict kind of the data mining. And you can see some of it, but we do need to engage the constituencies on that. And Milton, since you brought it up, How's your time?
Pretty awful. Yeah, and I missed the last two calls. You may have guessed the semester started. Things are pretty rough here.
Yeah.
I can dash off some questions just to get things started, send them to maybe a registrar or a registry representative to supplement.
Okay, why don't you do that, and then I will, then I can work with, since David's working on the chart, I can work with Paul Stahara and see if the three of us can put together something.
Yep.
It's kind of almost a second survey, but really just aimed at trying to figure out what's out there.
Yep.
Okay. So that's another deliverable.
That's good.
Okay. All right, so what I have on the list then is for the survey, we're going to see if we can have some more personal contact with the people that we've already sent this out to and the people that we're trying to send it out to. So we'll send around the list, and if you can all respond saying, oh, yeah, I know this person, I know that person, I can probably give them a call and to follow up and make sure that see if they have any concerns and hopefully get them to submit the survey. The next thing we need to do, Barbara, is we need to send, or actually each of us before Barbara, each of us should send this survey out to our constituencies and try to encourage them to find people and organizations to answer this question. And the third thing we need to do is with the constituency statements is I need to get clarification as far as what, with the timelines and as far as what they expect from these constituency statements, which because, you know, we want to wait for all the facts to come in. So that's with the constituency statements. I also need to talk to Bruce about, and I guess the council needs to advise us on, you know, obviously we can look at the facts, but, you know, we want to also make recommendations, even though that's not necessarily in our terms of reference. So I want to get some clarification on that. And with the charts, by Thursday, hopefully we will have all of the, we'll have Wendy, Jeremy, and John's portion of the chart. I'll combine them all and put them into one and send it out by the weekend so we can talk about it on Tuesday. And then the registry registrar questions, Milton's going to send some to me, and Paul will work on getting something out. Did I miss anything? Everyone's still awake.
Everyone's here. I will be unavailable next Tuesday. My apologies.
It's Wendy?
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. And do you know if Thomas is going to join, or are you guys are now trying to keep it one person per task force?
Well, given that the second was never allowed to speak, I'll ask him to join.
Okay. Great. Any other questions? All right, then I will talk to you all on Tuesday.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.